Уважаемые участники, гости форума будущего 2050, мы продолжаем программу. Dear participants, we continue our program.
Guests from the future session, demography.
Иван Сухов.
I invite Иван Сухов.
Работает?
Does it work?
Здрасте, спасибо, что организаторам спасибо, что позвали, а вам спасибо.
Thank you, organizers. Thank you for gathering, for attending that session. It would be brief because actually it goes off the schedule. We were supposed to be here on that stage along with plenipotential representative of the president of the Russian Federation in the Central Federal District, Igor Shogolev. Without whom, what I'm going to tell you will never take place. Therefore, I would like to express my gratitude to him. I have a problem as to how to introduce myself. So, when I was introduced, the voice said only my name and last name. I know that many expected to see here the person of the same name who lives in a flat, 47 square meters, with 13 wives and numerous kids, but that's not me. I used to be Commerce and Publishing House Deputy Editor-in-Chief, but now I'm moving to another position, to another job, and probably I will be the Director of the Research Center in the Russian State Humanitarian University, which will study demographic policy in Russia. And I will, along with my center, provide the expert support of that activity. I decided to quit my previous job because I was offered to take part in an annual demographic conference that is held in spring under the aegis of Russia Сегодня. And it turned out that very interesting things have been discussed there. The organizers of that event suggested that I write a book
и представляю, видимо, сегодня.
That probably I will introduce to you. I don't have that book with me.
Маленьким.
Because
«Гости из будущего».
It was not printed in a big number of copies. It is called «Guests from the Future», and it is dedicated to the public opinion poll that was held in early 2024 on Госуслуги platform. As a result of that poll, we pulled more than 200,000 users, and this is not a national sampling, although this is more than enough for the national review. But then we looked at the quantitative and qualitative figures and features of that big pool, and we realized that all in all, it could have been considered to some extent a national sampling. Because according to some basic features, especially, which are important for reproduction in terms of the perception of family, family values, and other things that the organizers of that poll were interested in, coincides with the national sample.
Ну и как это полагается журналисту, которого
позвали? As is appropriate for a journalist who was invited to act as an expert. I looked at all those demographic things with the eyes open wide. I used to think that we are living in a densely populated world where the population is growing up at a rapid pace, where our parents were living on a planet which was two times less populated than now. And I did think that everything related to the stop of birth rate and to the somehow decreasing of the number of people were thumbsucked, in a sense. It was enough just to, during the rush hour, get into the street and to see how many people are walking the streets.
Хотя...
But that conference prompted me to open some literature.
По роду своей работы...
It was something new for me, although I knew some of those things being a sociologist. The demographic boom picture that scared us as laymen and that would scare some demographic experts who would draw some doomsday scenarios, predicting that very soon will be more than 30 billion people living on planet Earth will be running out of water and air, and we have to do something about that. Now I started doubting that, and according to the United Nations data, this decade will reach a plateau, and then the number of people would go down, and there are countries that become depopulated, so to say. Quite recently, I attended one of the conferences that discussed some of the outlines of the future of the world that sees deglobalization as happens now. And certainly a lot of attention was paid to China. China, in that deglobalizing picture of the world, plays a first violin. And certainly everyone looks at China to see what is going on there. After the speakers stopped talking to one another, a man from the room stood up and said, "What may happen to China, according to you?" And everyone wondered what may happen to China. And he spoke about his impressions of visiting Haihe City, which is across the river from the Russia's city of Blagoveshchensk. It would be home to 1.2 million people living there. And everyone believed that it was a demographic flourishing, unlike our city of Blagoveshchensk. So that man visited Haihe quite recently. He saw that the city, which looked like a growing, developing city with a growing population, now in the evening looks absolutely desolate. So there are still street lights and high rises there, but there are no people in the streets. And all the people have gone. The problem is not that Haihe was expected was expecting more benefits from the Russian-Chinese cooperation, but Haihe has run into the problem of depopulation. We all believe that China is home to 1.5 billion people, and depopulation should not concern China anyhow, but China has already reached the peak and is now, its population is declining. Think about that figure. So they lost the very first year, they lost about 500,000 people. The second year, they lost about 1 million people. And if you believe that it would take several centuries for China to lose 1.5 billion people, but now it can happen much faster, and they will have to restructure the economy. The streets in some of the cities have become empty already. Russia is not China. Russia is just 1/10 part of China, 146 million people living in that country. And to some extent, we're lucky enough, because that figure doesn't change dramatically compared to what we used to have during the collapse of the USSR. Russia, which was the then member of the USSR, in late 1980s, had the population of 150 people, 150 million people. And our today's 146 million people is not too much different from 150 million we used to have there. There are many countries that got depopulated much bigger. There are countries that increased the number of population. Russia remains on that level of 146 million people. And first of all, it was contributed by Crimea adding to Russia. There are new territories of Russia, and we are not very much clear about its demography. It's difficult to do any survey there. But all in all, I think that those who were incorporated into Russia after that are about 5 million. So, and this contributes to the growth. And as for the natural growth, when the death rate is more than the death rate, the situation is not so good. In 1990s, the overall birth rate That's the average number of kids per one woman of reproductive age. I will not abuse any other terms, but that's a very simple formula, and all the United Nations and other experts are using that, including academia and national universities. And we do benchmarking in terms of the birth rate. That's a very important figure. So that figure was 2.1 in the countries that maintain the natural reproduction, where the people do not become less. In Russia, that figure in 1990s halved. And it happened in late 1990s. In 1999, we had the birth rate of 1.1, and it was a totally nightmare, because in essence, it was a very rapid dying out of the country. That's another term that you may use to replace depopulation. Some attempts were made in order to improve the situation, and the credit goes to the government of the Russian Federation. We are lucky enough to have it, because we're living in one of the few countries where the authorities are not ready to make up with those detrimental processes in the society, where less and less people are eager to deliver kids. Our authorities certainly would like to see the light in the end of the at the end of the tunnel, and they don't want to see a decline in the population, which is noted in many countries, something that we could not even think about 20 years ago. The government offered the maternity capital the women of reproductive age who were born during the latest USSR population boom, the campaign of 1985 also grew up. It means that by 2015, the overall birth rate climbed to the figure of 1.8, and we assumed that probably we will get back to the natural reproduction, but the safety margin was quite loose. Some peak in the birth rate always is noticeable in 20, 25 years from now. And the peak of birth in 1985 resulted in better situation in 2015. So not only the maternity capital, but also a lot of women coming of reproductive age contributed to that. But now we have exhausted that safety margin after the collapse of the USSR. A demographic trough occurred, and now this has its negative effect, and probably we see the decline of the population, the effect of the maternity capital is less noticeable. Discussions are being held, actually has to be stimulated, so to say, whether we have to stimulate the delivery of the second child or of the first child, so the people are used to take that measure as for granted, and is not very efficient yet. Hungary, for instance, now is run by the government of President Orban in 1990s. Their birth rate was close to one, and it concerned them very much. Hungarian government is one of the most pro-natal governments, and Orban used to be prime minister two times, and they spent about 6% of GDP to support the birth rate, and those financial efforts helped them to actually bring the birth rate from 1 to 1.5. In our case, the progress from 1.2 to 1.8 looks like a big success, but now we have slided to 1.4, and still we're discussing the measures that may help us to somehow repeat that success. But most importantly, and as far as we are behind the schedule already, I will not abuse your attention. Let me tell you what seems to be most important, what was revealed by that survey. and it translated the book, and fortunately this book is not available online. It is available in a hard copy, so that survey showed that we are lucky enough in terms of the reproductive features. There are countries where the people do not have their eyes sparkling, and despite economic well-being and great achievements and social well-being, just like in South Korea. All of a sudden, it turns out that in South Korea, zero women are prepared to deliver children. That country is number one in terms of losing the birth rate, and it is on top of all the alarming scenarios drawn by the United Nations and other agencies. And this is a very negative example. So they just don't want to have any children. So their society switched off that function. We can compare countries. This is not a very easy or very pleasant thing to do, but nevertheless, in Russia, the situation is quite good. So South Korea has the population about 50 million, whereas in Russia we are 146. In terms of the territory, we are not comparable, but in terms of our population, we may say that we are in the same basket. And South Korea may lose those 50 million people during the lifetime of the current generation. They will see more empty big cities if those tendencies are not reversed. In Russia, in terms of reproduction, the situation is not so poor. A lot of families are planning to have two and more children over the last 10, 15 years. We doubled the number of big families, and probably once we say that certain ideological urging measures are necessary, we do not have to spend a lot of time on the people who are ready to give up delivery of children at all. But probably we have to work more to support more big families, because those who decided that they don't need kids, this is their choice. Being a child-free, this is your choice. And actually, you cannot make an undesirable pregnancy a desirable one. And those who feel the taste for delivering children, that's a very interesting social category. And we can judge by the public opinion polls how they get reproduced, how the children born in big families become parents with numerous kids on their own, and they look like potential growth points. Within the country, we don't have too many people who would not like to have any children. Well, that category is noticeable in the age group 18-24. And many people, many experts involved in the youth policy, they sound alarm because of that. Probably that's too overreaction, because once those young people move to another cohort, age 24-35, they immediately want to have children. And most of them like to have two kids or three kids. And this happens amid other countries giving up the birth plans.
It
means that we have a lot of room for improvement. We have a lot of potential, not just only we have a territory full of natural resources, which is important for everyone. But at the same time, in terms of the birth rate, we feel very well. But as soon as the sociologist remove the question how your productive plans would look like in an ideal situation, the number of desired children would go down as well.
Поддержать рождаемость. И здесь понятно, что должны быть какие-то материальные шаги. Одно из главных открытий этого большого исследования 2024 года стало то, что родители, у которых есть дети, и которые
one or two children already and want to have the next one, and when asked what is changing with the appearance of your, with the delivery of your previous child, what will happen after you have the next child, they are not naming the economic factor as the first one. They mention the time factor as the most prominent one. That's interesting. That could motivate people from the government to think about the fact that demographics is not always about finances. It's important to have a holistic look at the environment. We need to be in a media space where having children is the norm in ads, in commercials, in cinema, on the banners and on billboards that you see as you drive home. That should, you know, be about things that make lives of parents easier, about different approaches to corporate demographics. That could also improve the situation with the real birth rates and reproductive plans. But these are not the only things that can happen. Even when our respondents said that the time was of number one importance, but the economic factors are not that important. You need to remember that time is also an economic factor. And of course, they also talk about their relationship with the employer. When you have a child, you start, you know, building your relations with your employer in a different way, because that's also about economics. It doesn't seem to be in the first place on that list of important things, but it is there, or up there at least. And given that there are regional and local variables that apply to government policies, and it's important to make them more coherent, that are harmonized, so that we could have maybe one support system that could apply to all families with children, regardless of their numbers, because that's important to have large families. I don't have that many children as my namesake does, and I have one child for a number of reasons, and maybe people, if you ask them, will tell you that their reasons are equally important and significant. And that's why they're not a family with three or four children. You cannot become one if you don't have one. So there could be no discrimination against those that don't have that many children in the family. You have to start somewhere. And it would be great if you could develop a system or come up with a system like that, because right now what we have is nothing to write home about. And you can really see that from this poll that was conducted. People are just not really finding their way through this complicated system, and it's also quite expensive for the state if we look at the numbers. Maybe next only to spending on defense. I did not expect that there would be a Q&A session. The format of this talk didn't kind of assume that. Hopefully, you're going to be able to find interlocutors of your preference. And speaking about the future that we will see in 2050, it's great for making reproductive plans and for the demographics in general and for the policy of stimulating birth rates. We need to talk about the future. No one will come up with this vision of the future but us. And there will be no future without children. That also is important to remember. It's great that we are in a country where people are still committed to this value. And perhaps, maybe in some foreseeable future, we could become some kind of an example for the rest of the world. And we are not doing anything extraordinary or supernatural. We're just basically trying to stick to those modes of behavior which allowed mankind to reach those levels of social and technical progress where we are at right now. Without children, none of that would have been possible. And children cannot occur if you don't have plans for the future. Once again, I would like to thank the organizers for setting up this talk, and I hope that one of you would get to that study, will read it, and would find out that things are not that rosy and starry-eyed as they may seem, despite the numbers that we have, so that we can avoid the demographic apocalypse. Thank you.
Заместитель полномочного представителя президента в федеральном округе Артур Камилович
Ниязметов.
Добрый день всем.
Hello, everyone. I was asked to say a few words. I wasn't prepared to talk on this topic. You cannot really, you know, squeeze this talk into 5 minutes. That's why we are doing this in this fashion. And in the 2 years, we have been debunking a lot of myths about demographics. It's an important piece of work. People will be able to learn about this as soon as we make it available for publication, please put on a few slides that we're going to use to illustrate what we're talking about. And when we talk about demographics, it's important to understand what is the value or price of this. These are the select soccer teams of different countries. There's no comment that is necessary.
В нашу политкорректность это входит вполне.
That's part of our PC policy. Why is demographics important? Number one, economics. In the situation when there is a war of sanctions, a lot depends on the size of the domestic market. We only have 5 minutes for the two of us. So in the trade war between China and the United States, China is doing quite well because of the huge internal market that they have and the positive demographics of the previous decades. I see Japan here on this slide. Japan is an interesting case in terms of demographics. It is really super aging. It has encountered a lot of social encumbrances in the form of elderly people that are gaining greater weight in the population size. And there are a lot of amateurs and dilettantes in the country. They're saying that's not too bad. If Japan goes below the level of 100 million people. It didn't cross it going upwards that long ago. But they do not take into account the fact that when it was moving up, it was much younger. The number of pensioners that are supported by the working taxpayers was greater. And the situation is getting into the reverse. And there will be no similar case going downwards. Russia is in a similar case. Russia is in the same area that it was under Peter the Great. And we had about 14 million. I wanted to draw your attention to the fact we won't have enough 15 minutes. The question is, as the population's age, we need to improve taxes, and if you improve taxes, if you increase taxes rather, your products will become incompetitive on foreign markets, and that will put us into a downward spiral. The third idea is that you can, you know, in some countries, in some cases, you can restrict fertility. It's not definitely our case. This is Mendeleev's forecast.
Не увидели экспертизы адекватной.
We didn't see the adequate expertise of the existing
назвали именно
course, and we called this using the name of Dmitry Mendeleev. He was the 17th child in his family, and in addition to chemistry, he was quite involved in tax policies, customs policies, and economics and demographics. And he formulated the goal of the government policy in this way. I shouldn't be commenting on this sentence. It says it all. And this also a picture that speaks volumes. You see, China's population will drop more than twofold if nothing changes. So we are watching what China is doing. And they still have not succeeded doing that. But well, they had a very active phase for several years. They're trying to change that trend. And demographics is inertia-based. They've said it before themselves. They've also repealed the policy of one child, and they're working actively on changing that. What does this mean? Anything that's in green, these are new centers of economic growth, because the number of people there means labor, new markets, a more effective pension system with less burden on the economy. Anything is in green. is an important factor. That's where the economy is moving. And everything that is in red, that's where problems are going to be. China is quite sensitive to this. India has a positive trend. And in geopolitics, there are countries that support India or China. China is saying that in India, there are not that many people that are ready for industrialization, but we can see that that's quite important, having a lot of people. This is a very simple picture. Well, the total fertility rate on Russia is similar to China. And on the right-hand side, that's what's happening in the Asian countries. And we understand that this will lead to migration. And, of course, speaking about the focus on many children, fertility rate is important. Japan is the country with the highest life expectancy, with a super effective healthcare system, but that doesn't save them. The conclusion is fertility is the most important thing. Birth rates are very important. And the number of families with a lot of children are a very important factor. And you need to have every second family with many children. And we are far away from that goal. And that's why we're taking a lot of measures to counter that trend. The president spoke about that. And decrees are put in force to address these issues. And there are concessionary prices for air travel and things like that. Money is probably not the most important thing, but people should really feel that they are supported every inch of a mile. So that should be the goal of our policy. That's what we're working on. And the work that Mr. Sukov did is quite important. It's important that it is understood by the public at large in terms of why demographics are so important. And that applies to the economics, the sovereignty of the country, and the security of the country. Please acquaint yourself with this study. I'm hopeful that it's going to be available very soon. That's the support from the presidential administration. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, and have a great forum.